from KQED. From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, I'm Mina Kim, in for Michael Krasny. Coming up on Forum, in a victory for religious groups, the U.S. Supreme Court has ruled that a 40-foot concrete cross in Maryland can stay on government land, reversing a lower court ruling that found the cross violated the separation of church and state. We get analysis. Then, at 9:30, YouTube could make some dramatic changes to its policies in the wake of harsh criticism and a federal investigation into whether the video streaming giant violated child privacy laws. We get the latest on YouTube's issues and changes to the site that's used by billions. That's next on Forum. Join us. Welcome to Forum. I'm Mina Kim, sitting in for Michael Krasny. The U.S. Supreme Court ruled today that a 40-foot World War I memorial cross in Maryland can stay on public land. We'll talk about that ruling and its implications for the separation of church and state. But first, a Sacramento police officer was shot to death last night as she was responding to a call about a domestic disturbance between a man and a woman. 26-year-old officer Tara O'Sullivan grew up in the Bay Area and graduated from the police academy in December. A suspect is in custody but has not yet been identified. Here's Deputy Chief Dave Paletta.
We're devastated tonight. There are no words to convey the depth of sadness we feel or how heartbroken we are for our family of our young, brave officer.
Joining us to talk about the story is KQED's politics and government reporter, Katie Orr, who is in Sacramento. Hello, Katie.
Hi, Mina.
First, what can you tell us about Tara O'Sullivan, who grew up in the East Bay? Hi, Katie, are you there? Hi, Katie? And as we try to reach Katie, one thing that I do understand is that, Katie, are you with us?
I am here. Hi, Mina. Sorry about that.
No problem. That not only did she grow up in the East Bay, but she attended College Park High School and Diablo Valley College. So very much somebody who is from the region.
Yes. And, you know, she, by all accounts, was so excited to be joining the Sacramento Police Department. She was actually hired in January of 2018. Before she had joined the academy, she was doing administrative kinds of things. And Deputy Chief Paletta said that even then she was so eager to help out, always volunteering to help with any task. And then she went on to join the academy in July. And as you mentioned, had just graduated in December. And was actually on the verge of completing part of her training, and she was going to start going out on her own.
And her death marks the first line of duty death of a Sacramento officer in more than two decades. What do we know about the suspect in custody?
Really not much. The police have been pretty tight-lipped about him. Again, as you said, we know it was a domestic disturbance. He shot Officer O'Sullivan as she was helping a woman remove belongings from the home where he was in North Sacramento. And then he was in a standoff with police for 8 hours. I was at the scene at one point and I was speaking to another police officer who was sort of on the perimeter. And as we were speaking over his radio, you could hear someone say, you know, rapid fire inside. And that was just an example of this man, the suspect would just fire his gun, you know, randomly, off and on for hours. And people around his house had to be evacuated. The police kept saying it wasn't safe. He had a rifle. And that was one of the reasons why it took so long to rescue Officer O'Sullivan after she had been shot. He kept firing into the backyard and police needed to maneuver an armored vehicle in there to protect the other officers as they tried to save her.
Was this person known to police before? Did he have a record?
They haven't said. They have not said. We don't know. They haven't released any information about him. So I can't comment on that.
Any comment on whether or not the suspect's been charged or how the Sacramento DA might handle something like this? Still to be seen?
Still, It is still to be seen. I mean, they don't take, obviously, murdering a police officer lightly. So I can imagine that any charges that are coming would be incredibly serious.
We are seeing an outpouring of condolences from law enforcement agencies in the Bay Area and beyond to the death of Tara O'Sullivan. Katie, give us a sense of just how the death of an officer in the line of duty affects the department, the broader law enforcement community.
I mean, I think it is something that police officers live with. The fear, you know, that this could happen to them is something that they and their families always have in the back of their minds. It's an extremely, you know, can be a very dangerous job. But when something actually happens to one of them, you can just see instantly everyone pulling together in the department. I went to UC Davis Medical Center here in Sacramento, which is where they took Officer O'Sullivan for treatment and where she later died. And there were just, you know, tons of police officers and what looked to be like people who were friends with her, on-duty police, off-duty police from different branches. They had organized a procession to accompany her body from the hospital to the coroner's office. And you can tell in the chief's emotion, in his voice, it's, you know, even though everyone knows the risk is there with the job, when it does happen, it is still just incredibly upsetting.
KQED's politics and government reporter Katie Orr. Thanks, Katie, for your reporting on this.
You're welcome.